Good morning. So today I'll be talking about research that I did in the summer of 2009 in a region in southeastern Senegal called Soraya. I have nothing to disclose. There were two grants that funded this research from the Alpha Omega Alpha Association and the Infectious Disease Society of America. And so the objective of the research conducted in 2009 was to assess at the health district level a home-based malaria management program that's being implemented nationally in Senegal. By examining the program's functioning in the field, we hope to provide information that could be used by the government district health team in Soraya and that may identify strategies to improve the implementation of similar programs in other areas. And to use the language of public health, we hope to glean lessons that could be used to scale up similar programs in other areas. In presenting our findings, I'll first discuss the current understanding of malaria epidemiology, what home-based malaria management is, why artemisinin-based combination therapy and rapid diagnostic tests are novel, and general information about the medico-political system in Senegal. I'll then describe the methods used to carry out this research, and we'll go over the main findings. And finally, I'll touch briefly on the broader importance of these findings for malaria control efforts. So the toll of malaria continues to take on global morbidity and mortality, especially in Africa, is difficult to fully appreciate. In 2008, malaria caused an estimated 243 million cases and 863,000 deaths, and over 85% of these were in the WHO African region and among children under 5 years of age. These numbers belie the unprecedented levels of funding and research that has, over the past 10 years, been invested in different malaria control efforts, such as impregnated mosquito nets, indoor residual spraying, intermittent preventative treatment for pregnant women and children under five, and home-based malaria management and new pharmacotherapies. As these numbers illustrate and this map suggests, there are still many areas in Africa where no improvements in malaria morbidity and mortality have yet been detected. So what is home-based malaria management, or HMM? It's a control strategy that we examined in this research in which community members administer prepackaged antimalarials within their own community. This picture is the group of community members who were recruited for this intervention. It was originally designed to address one of the most significant challenges of preventing childhood and maternal deaths, time. In Soraya, and in many areas where malaria is endemic, the roads are not passable for part of the year. The majority of the population lives over 20 kilometers from the nearest health facility, and there are no motorized vehicles, and especially in Soraya, bicycles are considered symbols of economic status. Overinfection with Plasmodium falciparum specifically can be rapidly deadly in children under five, pregnant women, and non-immune individuals if it is not treated early. And it is thought that teaching a community member to provide antimalarials will lead to earlier treatment of patients before irreversible consequences can develop. Artemisinin-based combination therapies and rapid diagnostic tests represent relatively recent improvements in efforts to control malaria. One of the major hurdles in the now decades-long struggle against malaria has been resistance of the plasmodium to different medications. Until the recent introduction of rapid diagnostic tests, most patients in Africa were treated symptomatically, and in many parts of Africa they still are. Over time, this led to the development of resistance, or contributed to it at least, to the previously most effective antimalarial medications, chloroquine and sulfadoxine, pyrimethamine, or fansidar. In the 1990s, a potent new compound, artemisinin, was developed or was isolated from a plant that has been used in China for over 1,000 years, and several artemisinin-based drugs have since been commercialized in the early part of this decade. Rapid diagnostic technology was also developed in the 1980s and has now been commercialized in the form of prepackaged kit tests. And the home-based malaria management program that we analyzed in Senegal used both new artemisinin-based combination therapy and rapid diagnostic tests with the reasoning that this will reduce overtreatment and will slow the development of resistance and also cut down on some of the adverse effects of treating someone unnecessarily, as you mentioned in your presentation. So in Senegal, infection with Plasmodium falciparum is estimated to be responsible for 35% of all outpatient consultations and 20 to 30% of mortality in health facilities. This makes it the primary cause of morbidity and mortality in Senegal. Although malaria is endemic throughout Senegal, it shows strong seasonal and geographic variation with peak transmission between June and November, and also in southern regions where there's more precipitation. And Soraya is located in the southeast, as indicated here. So the district of Soraya, where this research was conducted, is located in the southeast, and it borders both Mali and Guinea. It has an estimated population of over 35,000 people, and there's seasonal hollow endemicity for Plasmodium falciparum, with most malaria cases occurring between May and November. And in addition to government health services, a network of community health workers in Soraya volunteer their time in district health posts, manage their own huts, and or participate in several public health programs. In addition to the community health workers who work in health huts, there is also a network of community health representatives, or relais. These relais have similar roles to the community health workers, but have received less training. They're not affiliated with health huts, and they usually work more on a per-program basis than do the community health workers. I bring up this distinction because it's important for the implementation of the program. These two different groups were trained separately were examined separately in the analysis. These pictures on the right, you can see two community health workers loading a motorcycle with supplies to bring out to a health hut. And on the left is one of the roads in Senegal, and it kind of highlights how difficult transportation is. The intervention was designed by the National Malaria Control Program in Senegal, and it was done throughout Senegal. In Soraya, the district where we were working, two separate groups of local workers were chosen to implement the program. As mentioned above, there were community health workers and community medicine distributors. The community health workers managed their own health huts in their own village, and the community health, the relais, or the community medicine distributors, were either a shopkeeper in their village, and they had less experience in public health interventions. Here you can see the community radio station where the intervention was advertised, or information was given to the surrounding villages about it, and that's how they were recruited. So the trainings, as mentioned above, it was designed by the National Malaria Control Program. It was conducted in French, and it was taught by a physician from the National Malaria Control Program and two nurses from the District Health Center. Here you can see one of the jabes that was used. They tried to make it as visually based as possible. There was a translator who translated the training into Malenke as it was conducted, and Malenke is the local language. The training lasted 3 days and consisted of 5 different modules, and algorithms for the use of the rapid diagnostic tests and artemisinin-based combination therapy were provided, as well as written materials covering the information from each of the 5 modules. The trainings consisted of lectures, and question and answer sessions, interactive discussions, and role-playing, during which the community health workers and community medicine distributors practiced the rapid diagnostic tests on each other. So in total, there were 26 community health workers and 26 community medicine distributors that participated in the HMM program. The average age of the community health workers was 31, and that of the community medicine distributors was 28. The majority were male. 80% of the community health workers were male, and 92% of the community medicine distributors were male. And when we examined these two groups, we didn't compare them to each other because they have different levels of training and were operating under different circumstances in their villages. So in the assessment, we assessed the community health workers and community medicine distributors based on their ability to demonstrate competency in general knowledge of the etiology of malaria and its prevention, the ability to recognize the signs and symptoms of malaria, and to identify high-risk groups, i.e. women, children, and non-immune foreigners. Assistant nurses from the outlying health posts attended the final training day to better familiarize themselves with the community health workers and the community medicine distributors in their catchment area. And the training program covered the cost of transportation, food for 3 nights, and lodging for the 3 nights during the training. Here you can see an algorithm that was taught to the two groups to guide their treatment of malaria and their decision whether or not to use a rapid diagnostic test. So when we examined the results from the community health worker group, we did field visits. And there are two main points that we found, or two main findings. First, the community health workers generally conducted the program correctly. They generally adhered to the protocol. But there were widespread systemic problems in the supply chain. And this was out of the community health workers' control. So at the time of the field visits, the intervention was essentially non-functioning because approximately 3/4 of the sites visited did not have either the medications or the rapid diagnostic tests. And this was a month after the community health workers had been trained. It turned out that they had been given a supply of rapid diagnostic tests and medications that expired 2 weeks after the training, and there was a regional shortage of both of these supplies immediately after that. And when we assess the community medicine distributors, we assess them on their knowledge of the transmission prevention, their ability to recognize the clinical symptoms of malaria, and their ability to understand and carry out the protocol. And there was significant improvement. This was before and after the test, and there was significant improvement in their knowledge of the transmission and prevention of malaria and their ability to recognize the clinical symptoms, and in their ability to understand and carry out the protocol, but not in their ability to recognize the clinical symptoms. Again, the training, there was some problems with the training in that they did not, many of the community medicine distributors did not speak French, could not read or write, and the training was conducted in French, and it was heavily reliant on written material. So, in conclusion, the lessons learned and perhaps the important points that could be used to scale up in other areas is that there needs to be close attention paid to structural issues. The reason why this intervention was not working immediately after it had been implemented was that the medications and the rapid diagnostic tests weren't available. This could be addressed through better communication between the providers of the medications and the people implementing it on the ground. There needs to be improved transportation. And these are kind of broader issues in the entire public health system. And then the second main point is that closer attention needs to be paid in designing the training of community members, and it needs to be more sensitive to their language, their local language, their literacy, and also more time and energy needs to be spent on figuring out ways to recruit more women and to achieve a good balance of women to men. There was a study conducted in, I think, Ethiopia that found that there was a significant difference in mortality in a group of community health workers where it was mostly men versus mostly women, because the men, for the most part, did not treat the women and children, or the two most vulnerable groups. And so finally, I'd like to thank the different people who helped bring this about, the community health workers in Soraya, the district health team, Dr. Yusuf Njai, who's the chief medical officer of Soraya. And these pictures, on the left, it's the incinerator in Soraya. I thought that was just a nice picture. Some other community health workers, and then Dr. Yusuf Njai on the right, and the village chief on the left. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Do we have questions? Go ahead.
I don't think it's corruption. I think that this problem, a shortage of supplies, is very, very common. Most of the, I lived for a year in this area, and most of the time I was there, basic medications were not available. And it has to do with the national supply chain. Most of these medications are paid for by different funding agencies, and a lot of times there's not a reliable supply. I think that the Global Fund provided the rapid diagnostic tests and the ACTs, and so it has to arrive in the port in Dakar, and then there needs to be gasoline to bring the medications to the regional capital, and oftentimes there's a shortage of gasoline. So it's just a whole, basic things are very difficult in this setting for structural reasons.
Why would they go ahead with the training if they don't have the supplies in yet? Why don't they do
that? I think there's, I don't know the specifics in this situation, but from what I observed, oftentimes there would be a timeline for an intervention that was written by the National Malaria Control Program, and they weren't communicating with the other division of the Ministry of Health that was in charge of supplying the medications. And then there's the funders who have their own timeline and their own objectives and goals. And so a lot of these problems could be fixed through better communication, It's difficult. Yeah.
I think also on that note, even given the circumstance, let's say hypothetically that all of those things were in place and they were available, there's a high likelihood that even 3 months down the road you would be in the same situation. And so I don't know that it's really that significant, at least from what I've seen with the rural health centers, from the central medical supply source, there's a huge gap. And even providing basic medication
right.
on a regular basis. So.
Yeah. And I went back this past summer, and they were there at that time, but they were about to run out. So
we're at the end of our time, but I want to invite everyone up to please come up and talk to our presenters individually. Just a reminder that malaria is Millennium Development Goal 6 to have and have started to reverse by 2015, the number of cases of malaria, and we still have a long way to go on that. Dr. To, who is our first presenter, just wanted to let you know a copy of his presentation is on the back table. And just a final thought walking out the door from Betty Reese: if you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. Thank you very much, everybody.